My lack of integrity has left me feeling as though I am an empty vessel. I have a strong aversion to sharing my honest thoughts with both family and friends. Whenever these thoughts are benign, or whether these thoughts are benign or whether they are harsh truths, I feel anxious in admitting to either. I am reluctant to express discontent with the members of my family. In the past, I have gone so far as to admit to my mother that I feel no love for her, and yet even today, I still express my love to her through what I feel are merely platitudes. Specifically in this case, it feels as though expressing the truth of my feelings towards her has had no bearing on how our relationship has changed over time. I have drifted from your show in the past when I felt as though I was finding success in relationships or was developing a more honest sense of self. However, in the wake of the premature ending of a recent relationship, it's becoming more difficult to avoid confronting my patterns of behavior. I do struggle with vanity, which has been reinforced by an unearned sense of pride. I procrastinate exploring the opportunities that I want to explore. I believe this to be the case for two reasons. One, from what I have experienced through trying new things, it is humbling to learn that true value comes from investment and hard work. And two, regardless of whatever I am pursuing, I cannot escape myself. The humility required to be authentic is very intimidating to me. Even now, I am craving easy answers as to how I can begin resolving my issues. I would very much appreciate your help in providing me with the tools necessary to take measured, achievable steps in identifying the roots of my vanity, pride, and the anxieties that scare me away from confronting them. I would like to provide some biographical information below. I'm a man in my late 20s. My only sexual experience has come from a one-night stand. I do have a small group of friends, but only feel comfortable having significant conversations with one of them. I'm a child of divorce, and I have several siblings. Some of my siblings come from my birth mother and father, and the others come from my father's second marriage. My father is now in the process of divorcing his second wife. My childhood was spent in bouts of both repressed and overt anger. When I did act out, either by throwing a tantrum or destroying my own property or the property of others, steps were never taken afterwards to address the roots of my anger. I've seen two different talk therapists off and on over the past few years and have felt as though I have yet to get much use out of the sessions. I'm writing to you because in the wake of my most recent relationship, I'm only now recognizing how dangerously dishonest it is to not listen to my conscience and express myself in accordance with it. Furthermore, I have caught a glimpse of how continuing this behavior while in a relationship with another person is going to undermine any capacity to ever build trust. I'm now in the process of converting to Catholicism after spending some time searching for a religious community. I grew up Protestant, but Catholic Mass is a form of worship with which I feel as though I have a legitimate connection. My goal of following religion and participating in a community is to look beyond myself and consider the needs of others. I would like to begin the process of looking beyond myself where I do feel the roots of my problems lie. As a person with little integrity, I have yet to fully appreciate the irony that I'm joining a religion wherein one of its sacraments is reconciliation through the act of confession. I admittedly recognize that the pattern of ignoring my own issues while wrapping myself in the flag of helping others is present here as well. I want to stop using people while claiming ignorance of the consequences of my behavior in light of my best intentions. Please help provide me with the tools to stop lying to myself and those in my life. Thank you.
Well, that's a pretty harsh, man. I'm down with self-criticism. I get you're not, 20, you're late 20s, but what do you think on reading that back?
Perhaps me bringing up the religion aspect is a little bit tangential, but what I felt in writing that and reaching that point where I was talking about, again, the idea of helping others almost as a way of avoiding working on myself is, again, something that I want to be mindful of.
So your response to me saying this is pretty self-critical is to criticize yourself again.
Yeah, I guess so.
Excellent. All right. Well, okay. I'll mark that down as a possible pattern, completely unconfirmed. Okay. Got it.
Okay. I tried to write out a few things just, to bring up perhaps during the conversation. Uh-huh. I did split up, my notes into two parts. I had like a childhood and then like an adult part. So I guess perhaps just in addition to what I had written with under childhood, I had put never taught how to effectively cope with difficult emotions. And then under the adult parts, I guess perhaps as I've demonstrated here, utilize self-deprecation as a means of avoiding responsibility or criticism. Uh-huh. So, sorry to unload like that. But,
no, that's fine. Okay, so where do you want to start? Childhood, last relationship? You mentioned your last relationship. So, whatever works for you.
Perhaps the childhood would be the best place to start.
Well, it usually is. I'm happy.
for sure. I guess, would you prefer I just talk about, I suppose, I just to get into it. So my parents did divorce when I was quite young, I believe 5 or 6. And so I don't have much recollection of what my family life was like prior to that. I do remember it being the case where I would get home from school and I would be waiting for my dad to get home from work, and I would be happy to see him. But when he would show up, oftentimes he would, you know, spend some time with us, but then he would honestly just disappear for most of the rest of the night. Again, I really only have one vivid memory of that situation happening, but that is what sticks out to me. But would you like me to continue?
Well, what do you mean he would disappear? Like, I mean, I know disappear by its definition means I don't know where, but do you have any theories based upon his later life? Or like, what, was he a video game addict, a computer addict, internet addict, porn addict? What was he doing?
Yeah, so in digging a bit deeper later on in life, from what I have been told, he would, my family would had this shed in our backyard, and I believe what he would do most nights would, come home, check in, and then go out there to smoke weed.
Well, smoke meat and what? I mean, people just rarely smoke weed and stare at a wall. Would he, like, listen to music? Would he play games? Like, what would he... Any idea?
That is a very good question. Admittedly, I'm not sure. I do know... Gosh, that's... I mean, that would have been probably before the time where he'd have the ability to listen to music out there. So...
Well, you didn't know... Maybe he had a stereo out there? Was there electricity out there?
There was not, no.
Okay, yeah, it could be a Walkman. Oh, maybe, I don't know. I've never tried drugs, so I don't know, but my understanding is that there's very few people who just bake and do nothing. Like, they just stare at a wall. I mean, that would be a lot of drugs. So
right. No, fair enough.
Anyway, it doesn't matter if you don't know. I was just kind of curious, like, if he's gone all night... Is he just smoking weed and staring at a wall? That's kind of weird. I mean, the whole thing's kind of weird, but that's even more weird.
Right. That situation of waiting for him to come home, him showing up, and then me not knowing where he went for the rest of the night. That's the one memory I do have from that far back.
Of course, you wouldn't know what your mom was doing.
She was around, I believe, with it being the evening, she would be preparing dinner. I think that was the thing, was that she was present, but usually busy with something else. And my father would go off and just try to spend time by himself.
But wouldn't she say, like, wouldn't, I guess this is why they got divorced, but wouldn't she say, hey, guy, spend time with your kids. What are you doing?
Yeah, I must admit, I don't recall there ever being a conversation like that between them, at least in front of us. I know something that my parents have talked about, specifically my mother, is that they would do their best to not have conversations like that in front of us, whether it be an argument or something hopefully more constructive, arguments can't be constructive, but
arguments can be constructive, but
yeah,
abuse can't be, but arguments can be.
Right. But yeah, so it felt like there was never, I never, prior to their divorce, I never really saw them working through things or trying to strengthen their relationship in any way. I think, again, because in large parts, my father would kind of go off on his own. But admittedly, with that being the one memory I do have that far back, that is not much to go off of. Sorry, would you like me to continue? Sure. Or
and what about weekend? Any more time with him weekend wise? Or
I think a bit more so. I know on weekends he would often busy himself with housework. Like he would go out and mow the lawn, and he would come in and again just, you know, talk with us. But I don't remember us ever sitting down having, you know, conversations or playing for any length of time. And so that's, I guess it's interesting because my mother has shared with my older brother and I recently some like old home videos. And so there were situations where we do things like, you know, camp in the backyard, and like we would be out there spending time as the four of us, my mother, my father, my older brother, and I. But I think that was probably before the point where I would remember things like that. And so it's kind of, I guess it's nice, but simultaneously sort of heartbreaking to see that like, oh, like here we were like a, you know, a functional family to some extent, but for me to have no recollection of it, like, I feel like there's a great disconnect there.
Well, but home movies are mostly propaganda, right? I mean, nobody films the bad stuff.
Very true. Very true.
I'm not saying there wasn't any good stuff, but you wouldn't want to look at home movies and say, you know, that's like, hey, North Korea is just like they show in the movies. You know, right, like, I mean, right. I'm saying again, I know that's an extreme example, but you wouldn't want to get overly sentimental about home movies because it is, it's all the good stuff that's shown.
No, very true. Very true.
It's why people get a sense of the Garden of Eden, like selective memories. But anyway, okay, so there was some functionality. And do you know, or do you have any idea, either then or now, what led up to your parents' divorce?
So, I believe, with focus on my father, I believe it was that he would refuse to stick up for his family and what you know, our wants were, both of that of my mother and of us, in favor of, he would often bend the knee to his own mother, who was oftentimes overly critical and overly involved in the choices that we were making. So I guess I would say I can certainly see that being a contributing factor, where because my father was refused to stick up for what was best for his family, in order to just appease, you know, his own family, I think that certainly led to friction. And from what I've heard from my mother, they would have conversations about how, you know, in order to try to alleviate that, my mother would suggest like, oh, let's like move to a different state. Let's try to get away so we can have, you know, more space to try to protect our family. Just, I guess, in an attempt to, you know, help my father out, make it a little bit easier for him.
Sorry,
to do so.
I hate to be that annoying guy, but as an empiricist, I'm always cautious about stories, right? So, okay. So, you know, well, he failed to do this. It's like, okay, but what practical things or empirical or tangible things were happening. Like, in what way? Like, if I was just a documentary filmmaker filming your family back in the day, how would I know any of this stuff? Like, what was said or done or not done?
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. So, yes. So, for example, even with something as simple as the way that both myself and my brother, like the way our hair should be cut, the way we should dress, my grandma, my dad's mom, would give her opinion on something that we should be doing, and my father would agree with her and enforce her rules on our family. And he would openly admit, he would openly admit how he didn't like his mother, but he would still listen to her anyway. But I guess in terms of what he did, it was often just, my brother and I should go to this school. We should dress this way. I guess perhaps more superficial things like that. But has been like the theme of my father until his mother had passed away. And in terms of what led to the divorce, I believe that was a large contributing factor. I'm sorry if that doesn't...
No, that makes perfect sense to me. How's that not... I'm sure I'm missing something, so, set me straight. How's that not your mother's fault?
Now, do you mean in terms of holding my father accountable, or in also not sticking up for her own family?
Well, no, I just mean in terms of... So let's say that everything that you've heard, right, and all mm-hmm. it's all true, that your dad was like a hopeless mama's boy, something like that.
Yeah.
Just let his mom rule the roost, right? Is that the way?
I would certainly say so, yes.
Okay. So let me sort of give you an example, right? If I take my daughter camping and it's bad weather, so we go into a cave, and then we get driven out of the cave by a bear, right?
Okay.
Is it the bear's fault?
No, certainly not.
Is it my daughter's fault?
No.
Whose fault is it?
In that situation, it would be your fault.
Right, because I didn't check to see that the cave was unoccupied, right?
Right.
See what I'm getting at here, right?
I believe so.
Your father was a mama's boy, and your mom married him and gave him children without dealing with that beforehand, without dealing with that up front.
Oh,
in other words, your father was occupied by a bear called mom, and she went and got married to him and gave kids to him, and like, but you know that.
Right. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was stuck in the mindset of trying to, like, salvage the Titanic rather than the fact that she chose wrong.
No. I'm not saying, I didn't see, it's funny what people hear. I didn't say she chose wrong.
Okay. Oh, just that issue.
But that's what she chose. She chose to date, get engaged to, get married to, have children with a mama's boy. So how dare she leave him for being a mama's boy? Maybe I'm missing something. But it's if my wife is like 5'1" and change, right? And so she gets to see my nostrils and I get to see her forehead, right? So I knew that when I was dating her, right? Can I divorce her for being short?
No.
Man, she gives me... We both have a marriage which is about based around having cricks in her neck, right? I can't divorce her for being short, can I?
No. Okay.
Sorry, were your parents, or were they at the time Christians?
Not particularly. We would go to church most
Sundays.
Sorry,
let me put it this way. Did you get married in a church, and did they say the standard vows?
Yes.
Okay, so Christian enough, right?
Yeah.
And so you say to someone, I accept you as you are. We are one flesh. So I'm trying to, that's why I said, did something happen before they got divorced that wasn't blindingly obvious to everything that came before? Like, he didn't just wake up one day with a head injury and be a mama's boy, right?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, Stefan. Thank you. So there was infidelity. My father did cheat on my mom.
Why are we just talking about this now?
That's why you're the expert. I'm sorry that
I'm not trying to be big critical here. I just want to make sure that we don't go on another merry journey down nowhere lane.
No. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay.
No,
so it wasn't the mama's boy thing. It was the infidelity thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So as far as I know,
did his mom tell him to have an affair? No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. He ordered him.
Yes, from what I've been told, he had met someone, I don't know if, his first affair with my mother, I don't know if, where exactly he had met her. My brother and I were introduced
to... Sorry, his first affair with your mother? I'm not sure what you mean by that phrasing.
Sorry, I'm jumping the gun here. So he had...